We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM, The Fan, WFAN.
Hour 2, can comment on The Fan until 6 p.m., 877-337-6666. Andy Vasquez will join us, North Jersey and USA Today. We'll talk Jets with him, get a little bit more into the Bob Quinn stuff, as well as Matt Patricia getting fired, what all this means, what could possibly happen after Joe Burrow's injury, because I'm thinking something different with Trevor Lawrence. Plus, I need Steve Cohen to not make a splash. I need him to do a cannonball. That all coming up, but right now we go to the hotline. Giants Bengals tomorrow for the preview and everything going on with the Giants. We welcome in Art Stapleton, Giants writer for the Record. Follow him on Twitter at @Art_Stapleton. Art, thanks for joining me this afternoon, my friend.
No problem, Ken. What's going on?
Oh, just doing the show and hoping that they can come out with a win tomorrow for Daniel Jones' sake, because I started it off. I had several people agreeing with me. I think this is a game that I don't need him to be John Elway. I need him to look good. This is a Bengals team that I think wants to just roll over and be put out of their misery, considering what I'm reading out of Cincinnati here. Art, maybe you can see something differently, but I think this is a game that Daniel needs to look good in, bud.
Yeah, I mean, no question. I think it's a game in which the Giants need to look good in all three facets, to be perfectly honest. I mean, you come out of your bye, you get the result you needed on Thanksgiving, you have a chance to kind of validate your two-game winning streak, although it's modest, and pull into a tie with the Washington team, almost slip there. Jones needs to be clean, and he's done that the last two games. First time in his career, he's had back-to-back games with no turnovers. But ultimately, this is the first time since November of 2016 that the Giants go on the road and are a favorite of 5 points or more. The last time they went to Cleveland, they won that game handily, and I think they need to do the same tomorrow with the Burrowless Bengals.
This is the first time in 4 years they're a favorite by five or more on the road?
Yep. And you know what? I only say 5.5 because I tracked it down in terms of the opening spread. But it may even be the first time they're favored on the road since that season, regardless of spread. It's been a while. It's what happens when you lose the most games in the NFL since 2017.
Gosh, I didn't even realize it was that much. Art Stapleton joining us on the show. Well, when you talk to the people with the Giants, how do they think Daniel's doing? Because I'm going to make a case for the playoffs in a second. But in honesty, how do you feel? How do they feel he's progressing here?
I think what they like the most about it, and Joe Judge has talked about it publicly even before Daniel Jones, started to play well the last couple weeks and eliminate those turnovers. Really, the fallout after the Bucs game on Monday night, in which he had a couple inexplicable turnovers, is that this kid comes in and works very hard. He showed his leadership early on with this team. He's replacing a legend. And everything that they've needed him to do, learning the new offense, he has the tools. And I think they kind of looked at Jones similar to the way that Judge has approached this entire program that he's trying to build here, is that if you give it everything you got and you sell out and you put everything into it, we're going to give you an opportunity. And I think Jones is taking care of that opportunity. You know, a lot went wrong around him. I mean, think about it, Ken. One quarter into the second week, you lose your best player on the team. I mean, Saquon Barkley going out with an ACL, yes, they did not play particularly well in the first game against the Steelers, but you lose Saquon Barkley in this offense, not only are you only five quarters into this offense, you now have to do it without the guy that you've probably spent 4 months building everything around. I know they say they want to adapt to the personnel, but you don't adapt, you don't treat Saquon Barkley in this offense the way you would treat anyone who comes after him on the depth chart. So from Jones's perspective, I think you kind of see a little swagger. I don't think he lost it when things weren't going well. And I think he feels it right now. And I think he's feeding off of a lot of the success that pieces around him have had. Sterling Shepard's return was a big boost for this offense just because he settles down a lot, especially on third down.
Art Stapleton joining us on the show from The Record. Follow him on Twitter at @art_Stapleton. Well, this is my concern. Say he turns in a dud tomorrow. I think we've opened, and I'm going to talk about something else when it concerns Joe Burrow here, but my mind starts wondering here, and I'm thinking, you know, they went in Arizona. They opened up that box. They went the very next year and said, we want ourselves a quarterback. We're going after that guy. I got a guy in year two. Now, you're right. He's lost Saquon, and that's a huge loss. Hell, he leads his team in rushing. That's how much they've lost with their running game.
Yeah.
But you're going into year three. If I'm they would be 3-8 if they were to inexplicably lose tomorrow. You're going into a year three. You're going to have a high draft pick off the top of my head. Lawrence wouldn't be there. Fields wouldn't be there. I still have Lance. I still have Zach Wilson. There could possibly be like a Kyle Trask or something like that, even though that's a little bit far-fetched. I start to think that especially if they were to lose tomorrow, that people start to call in and say, that's it. We're done. We're going to squeeze the trigger on somebody else.
Well, you know the way fans are, and certainly the media. I mean, as much as we're all talking about, you know, the Giants and the chances in the NFC East, I mean, if they go out and they lose to Cincinnati, they're going to deserve a lot of the criticism that they're going to get. You know, look, if the Giants are in a position at the end of the season where, you know, this offense didn't work with Jason Garrett at the helm, and Daniel Jones struggled, and what we've seen the last couple weeks does not sustain and even progress over the last six games of the season, then I can't tell you what they're going to do come the 2021 NFL draft. I mean, if the Giants like a quarterback and who they're seeing, and they feel like, you know what, Jones got them to a certain point, but he didn't get them beyond that, they bring in a new general manager, if it's from somebody outside the organization, now you're dealing with, you know, they bring in a new offensive coordinator if Jason Garrett doesn't stay. So I think there are a lot of factors. The door is not shut on the Giants and a quarterback next year. You know, as much as the Giants believe that today, you still got six games to go, and I don't believe they will compromise what this team and which direction they're heading. But I do think that there is still a lot of football to be played down the stretch of this season. You know, and like we saw last week with Burrow, you have an injury, a devastating injury like that. Obviously, the Bengals are not going to move beyond Joe Burrow, but it changes the way your franchise is looked upon. If, you know, and I'm not wishing this on anyone, but if Daniel Jones were to suffer a severe injury the way Burrow did, all of a sudden, the Giants organization goes into year three of Daniel Jones with a completely different picture in terms of what they may expect moving forward.
Well, that's interesting. Go back to Gettleman for a second, because I've had people call in defending him so far in this show. I'm up in the air to the point of being pretty negative about him. You know, I think that a lot of people, they're just happy that Odell's gone, and it seems that they can come up for air now. There's a lot of things that I want to see. If you were going to put a percentage, though, on how safe he is, the Giants like their stability, how safe is Dave Gettleman right now?
You know, it's hard. I don't know necessarily if I would use it as a safe situation. I just think that the way the Giants have it constructed in the front office right now seems to be working for this head coach. Now, how much worth, or how, I'm losing the word, you know, I think how much weight does Joe Judge carry in that process right now? I think a lot. I think there's a lot of weight on what Joe Judge is contributing to the personnel side of things. For Gettleman, I find it very hard to believe that John Mara wants to come out at a podium or at a Zoom podium at the end of the season, regardless of where the Giants are, and say Dave Gettleman has been fired or relieved of his duties. I do believe that the Giants want to move in a certain direction front office-wise, and I think they've taken that. You know, you see Kevin Abrams as the assistant general manager. They have Chris Pettit, who's in charge of the director of college scouting. Joe Judge, as I said, is heavily involved. So where does Dave Gettleman fit? You know, I think 2 years ago when they hired Pat Shurmur, Dave Gettleman's voice was the loudest. And I think we've seen the last 2 years that it wasn't working. I do believe that in some ways Gettleman didn't take a step back, but other voices around him got louder and I think got stronger. So do I put a percentage on it? 60-40, he's back. I got to see how this ends up, Ken, to be perfectly honest. But I don't believe that they are going to fire Dave Gettleman. I think Dave Gettleman would retire, as he joked at the combine before drafting Daniel Jones. If Jones is the quarterback, he'll retire and say, well, I gave this franchise a quarterback, and that's all I wanted because I wanted to follow in the footsteps of one of my mentors, Ernie Accorsi, who delivered Eli Manning to the Giants.
Art Stapleton with us on the show. I really have liked Joe Judge. I don't want to fanboy for anybody. I thought the move with the practice jerseys was a nice touch earlier this week. And I came in very skeptical of him because of the whole Belichick tree. I mean that. I thought Brian Flores has done a great job down in Miami. A couple other guys have been okay. It seemed like Vrabel was the secret. But I think that Joe Judge, with everything that he's had to pick up with, I think he's been pretty impressive. You.
I mean, I agree with you to this point. I don't see any reason to look at it and say, you know, Judge doesn't have something promising going here, especially with the Giants when you compare and contrast their last two head coaches with Ben McAdoo and Pat Shurmur. The things that they didn't do well, Joe Judge has done well from the start. Now, people forget, you know, Ben McAdoo's first season in 2016, yes, they pumped $200 million into the defense, but that team did make the playoffs. The bottom fell out in 2017 when Ben decided to come back with a different haircut and really lost the team in the locker room. But as a first-year head coach, there were people in the building who said, you know what, maybe we've got something here. But I'll give you one thing about Judge that just kind of speaks to his mentality. The beginning of the summer, they decided with the expanded practice squads, and obviously they looked ahead and thought about what they were going to deal with, COVID positive tests during the season. They decided to sign a second long snapper. Carson Tinker from Alabama is on the practice squad. They carried him from the beginning of the season. And they signed Ryan Santoso, who is a kicker and a punter. And he does both, and they signed him, and they put him on the practice squad. So, lo and behold, the last 2 weeks, Graham Gano, after signing a 3-year contract extension, by the way, has been automatic this season, 20 field goals in a row. Gano ends up on the COVID list. Well, the Giants just call up Santoso from their practice squad. They don't have to go out anywhere and now auditioning kickers over Thanksgiving with COVID protocols and everything else. And I talked, when I asked special teams coordinator Thomas McGahey about that this week, he said, that's Joe Judge. He said, Joe is just, he thinks 3 steps ahead of everything, big picture everything. And you look at it and you may look at it and go, well, are we really thinking about carrying a second long snapper in August? What are the odds that that happens? And Thanksgiving week, the Giants have a long snapper. And by the way, their long snapper, Casey Kreider, and their punter, Riley Dixon, both landed on the COVID list as close contacts to Graham Gano. So that was Joe Judge. Now, I'm sure people in the personnel department and front office and even Dave Gettleman may have had a hand in making that decision. But that, to me, is the blueprint that Judge has set up essentially in every facet of this organization. He's got his name on it. There is no, well, that decision was made without Joe Judge's approval. He has that input, and he's been given that by ownership.
Art Stapleton, Giants writer for the record, joining us on the show. How's Saquon progressing?
You know, we really haven't seen him, and that's the hard part. I mean, we're out of the locker room. You know, we haven't been in the locker room since, you know, Pat Shurmur was head coach. I mean, ultimately, you know, you have the COVID restrictions, so we're barely at the facility at this point to see practice. But it's very interesting. He went out to L.A. to get the surgery. I know the Giants were encouraged because he did a lot of pre-rehab before the surgery. So, you know, I know you probably remember that video that went around of he and Daniel Jones being without masks in New York and caught a lot of attention and a lot of flack. And they said it, you know, well, look, it looks like Saquon was riding a bike. Well, part of his pre-rehab was to ride a stationary bike. So I think they got it to the point where Saquon has a lot of respect for legends of the game, so to speak. It would not shock me that he follows what Adrian Peterson did in 2012 to a T to rehab that ACL. Peterson came back, I think it was 9 months after his ACL, and led the league in rushing, and he's the last non-QB to win NFL MVP. So Saquon Barkley is going to probably follow what Peterson did back then, and we'll see. Look, there's a lot of going on with Barkley going forward here. Contract and can he get back to being 100%? We will see. But right now, I wish I had a better update for you because he's kind of been out of sight, not necessarily out of mind, but certainly out of sight.
Yeah, well, the thing about the contract, you know, he's been banged up here before the injury, and then the big injury happens, and it really changes the entire complexion of his entire career here. Art Stapleton joining us on the show. Playoffs? Are they talking about the playoffs in the building? From what you know from being outside of the building.
I know people see the standings, and there's no doubt. I mean, I don't think Joe Judge is walking in front of the team and saying, you know, look, you know, we're going to go after this division. I mean, there's a long way to go. You're sitting at 3-7. You've got a lot of work to do. But there's no doubt to me that this organization got a breath of fresh air when Judge came in. I think the fact that they bought into what Judge was selling, and look, no team in the NFC East is playing better football than the Giants. We're all kind of prisoners of the moment. You know, Washington wins on Thanksgiving, and it's, well, Washington's in first place. They're playing the best ball of anyone in the division. No, the Giants have beaten Washington twice this year, and when each time the talk was, well, Washington's no good, so the Giants, those wins don't matter. Giants won those two games, and, you know, everybody wanted to take away from the magnitude of those victories. So, like we said in the open, this game tomorrow is huge because this is the worst team on the Giants' schedule. Even if Burrow was on the field, the Giants have seen some heavyweights. Let's be clear. They opened with the Steelers. They played the Rams on the road. They've seen Tampa Bay on a Monday night back when Tampa was going to be the Super Bowl pick in the NFC. I mean, the last couple weeks have happened with Tampa, and people kind of look at it and go, well, you know, Tampa's not that good anymore. But when they play the Giants, Tampa, people thought they were going to roll by 30 points, and that's not just a people said. I mean, that was the feeling around the league. So I think the Giants are pretty confident with where they're at, but they still got a lot of work to do. And I think that they can play their way into serious contention without compromising their future. And I think that's kind of the delicate balance here. And I think they will play their younger players. Not saying, you know what, we got to play more of the veterans because we've got to get a chance to make the playoffs. I think the division is kind of that carrot that you can dangle, but I don't believe that the Giants will compromise what they're trying to do as far as a rebuild goes just to win the division in 2020.
Boy, that's different from what I thought I would hear, and let me tell you why. And the final one from me here, Art, is that, you know, I've heard people get in and say, well, it doesn't do you any good. You're not a very good football team as is. You just get drilled in the first round. If I'm thinking about Daniel Jones and I'm thinking about this team and really changing the culture the way that Joe Judge is trying to do, I don't care if they go in at 5-11 or 6-10. If the playoffs is still the playoffs, and I would still say this is an opportunity to really develop and to do something here.
Ken, there's been one playoff game in the history of MetLife Stadium, and that was the Giants and Falcons in 2012. So at the end of the 2011 season, so there is no question they might not have fans in the building, but they certainly want a playoff game at home. So I don't think anybody outside of the team is underselling the idea of making the playoffs. And let's be honest, They could have beaten Tampa Bay, like I said, on a Monday night. That first-round game could end up being Tampa Bay at the Giants on that Monday night. If Seattle ends up in that spot, or Arizona, the Giants have Seattle and Arizona the next couple weeks. You don't think if they play them tight, almost harken back to 2007 when they played the Patriots down to the wire in Week 17, that they wouldn't go in with some confidence being at home playing one of those teams. So I think there's no question that a playoff berth for this team would not be kind of pushed aside and said, who cares? But again, I think it's important that they don't just sell out for 2020, because this team is not they're not nipping on the heels of the Chiefs right now. I think they need to keep progressing. And if a division championship comes from that because of the circumstances and because of how the NFC East is, I think the Giants will embrace it.
Okay, real final one, then I promise I'll let you go. If you're a Jet fan, would you want Jim Harbaugh as your head coach?
You know what? I don't. It's a tough call. I think... If I got Trevor Lawrence, I want an innovative offensive coach to work with Trevor Lawrence. And, you know, if that's Eric Bieniemy, I'm not sure. If that's, you know, and I don't even know, you know, the big name right now is Matt Campbell off of yesterday with Iowa State. I think at that point, you know, the Jets might be trying to sell their fans something. But if you get him Trevor Lawrence, I think you or I can kind of take that step one and say, all right, now we know how to win, because we've got the, you know, the best quarterback prospect since Andrew Luck.
Art, can't thank you enough for the time. Follow this guy on Twitter, @Art_Stapleton. And all the best. I'll talk to you again soon, friend.
Thanks a lot, Ken. Have a good day.
You too. Art Stapleton, Giants writer for the record, 877-337-6666. I'll get back to you guys. I had a thought about Joe Burrow. We'll get to that because it concerns Trevor Lawrence. I'll tell you right now, Michigan just lost again. This is the first win for Penn State since December 28th of 2019. I know that Adam Gase is a lame duck, and anybody seems better than Adam Gase. I got a weird feeling about Jim Harbaugh. I need to air that stink out. I'll tell you guys about that next. It's Ken Carmen on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.